Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
We're going to pick up in our story here tonight. So the wall is complete. We have a wall. Say, we have a wall. We have a wall. But the work's nowhere from being finished. So a little background, if you guys are just kind of jumping in with us here tonight, the doors and the gates of this wall, they're in place. Nehemiah, he's been keeping the gates shut a little later in the day so that, you know, they're not susceptible to being attacked and all that. And he also wants, you know, everyone to be able to get their coffee and get their morning bathroom break in, right? Right? And he knows that the people's morning routine, you know, they got to get that caffeine in. They got to get that bathroom break. So the city has walls, they have doors, and now they need to organize the people. So God puts on Nehemiah's heart to assemble the people by families. So they start going through the genealogical record. And most of chapter 7 goes through that. And they get to this part where there's people that aren't in the record, and they're marked as unclean until the priests can minister through the Urim and the Thummim. And for extra credit, for those of you guys that would like to know, the Urim and the Thummim can be found in Exodus 28:30. I'm sure that there's some of you Bible nerds that were like, man, you just gave away my thing. I would look this up. I was going to share it with my group. Sorry, I ruined it for you guys. I know how that is. I used to do that. And you look for little points. Hey, I've got an idea, you know, whatever. So anyways, I've lost everybody, haven't I? Everyone's looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy right now? I'm sick. I'm on cold medicine. Give me a break. So before chapter 7 ends, verse 67, Nehemiah adds that they had 245 male and female singers, but they had no backup dancers. And so thanks, Nehemiah, for that bit of information. So chapter 7 ends, and now chapter 8 introduces the new character in the story, Ezra. And Ezra, he'd actually been there all along. He actually got there 13 years or so before Nehemiah. And that's where we're going to pick up tonight. So I titled this talk, if you're taking notes, I titled this talk, do you have it? Shouting Secrets. Shouting Secrets. Let's pray, because we need it. I need it. Father, we just thank you so much for this time to gather in your place. And Lord, we thankful for your love, and thankful, God, that you care so much for us, and we can always come to you, Lord, and that you're there, and you love us so much. And God, we just ask that you'd meet us here now in this time, Lord, that we'd hear something special from you, and Lord, that we would be ministered to through this study. God, that you would just go before us here tonight. Lord, we also pray for the Lakers. Lord, that you would just help them out. Lord, we need some help. And so we just ask for a blessing on them too as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I heard a story about four seeds. Four seeds. And these four seeds, they were best friends. And these four seeds, they decided that it was time to return home to the jungle. And so they leaped into a gust of wind, and they were brought to the jungle, and they landed in an open clearing, and they started to germinate. And they realized how tough it was going to be. You see, there were some monkeys up in these trees that were throwing bananas at new seeds that were trying to grow. The monkeys wanted to keep the jungle floor clear. And so the monkeys are throwing bananas at the first seed, and the seed gets hit so many times it almost splits in two. And the other seed saw what happened. They're like, man, let's just hold it. Let's just not do this. Let's wait till these monkeys move on. And so they thought, one of the seeds thought, you know, she would at least give an attempt. And so she tried and tried, and she was pelted with bananas. And she was hit so many times, she was almost folded over in two. The other seeds asked her to stop trying, but the little seed was completely determined to become a tree. And time again, she would try, and she would fail, pelted with bananas. But she didn't give up. Every time, pelted with bananas, she would get a little harder, despite her friends begging her to stop, telling her to wait till the monkeys leave. So this goes on for weeks and months. And then one day, she didn't double over. She was hit by a banana, then another, and none of them managed to make her fold. She was hit so many times, and she had doubled over so many times before that she was now full and hard of knots and scars, helping her to grow more strongly than the other seeds. Her slim trunk got thicker and more resistant until it could withstand the impact of the bananas. She was already so developed that the little monkeys, they couldn't even pull her out of the ground at this point. And thanks to the extraordinary strength of her trunk, she continued to grow, overcoming difficulties until she became one of the strongest trees in the jungle. Meanwhile, her friends remained hidden on the ground. They were continuing as ever, hoping that the monkeys would just leave and abandon the clearing, never realizing that those same monkeys were the ones that were strengthening the seed's trunks with their method of throwing bananas, something that would prepare the seeds for the problems they would confront during their growth. So tonight, I want to focus on something. I want to focus on the secret of strength, the secret of strength. But it's not a secret that we keep to ourselves. It's not a secret that's, this is a secret that is actually shouted. It's shouted in God's word. It's shouted by the way that we live as believers and followers of Jesus. It's shouted every Sunday here in this pulpit. And I'm not suggesting that we can somehow, by our own efforts, obtain some secret strength by toughening up. As Jesus followers, there's a secret to our strength. And we're going to look at three of those here tonight real briefly. First secret to our strength, strength number one, is victory through failure. Victory through failure. The banana story, it's just a fun story that sometimes we need to experience or at least fully understand the bad to appreciate the good. To be strengthened by our failures and mistakes, by knowing that there's nothing we can do to earn anything. That God is for us, He's with us, and that He's already taken care of it. That honestly we can say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I want to read with you guys. Let's open up into our text. We're going to start in verse 1 in chapter 8 and read through here a little bit. I think we'll have it up on the screen too in case you don't have it. So starting in verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered as one into the square of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, all who could understand, and they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women, those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Verse 5, "Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' lifting their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And then verse 7, "All those people there and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while they remained in their places." And then verse 8, "They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave sense to what the people, so that the people understood the reading." So not only were they reading the law, but they were explaining it as they were going. And then verse 9, "Nehemiah, who was the governor," remember that, "and Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep,' for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." Let's stop there. Henry Ford once said that failure is the opportunity to start again more intelligently. Failure is the opportunity to start again more intelligently. I remember when I first believed and started following Jesus, when I first started reading the Bible for myself at 27 years old. I had never gone to church. I was so taken back by all these things that I was reading. Deep down, I knew throughout my life, I knew I wasn't living right. You know, I knew I wasn't doing the right things. But to read the Bible, to read God's word in black and white, the weight of my sin, the cost of my sin was so much. It was so heavy. You guys relate to that? When Ezra started reading the scripture to the entire city, it was like one stone or one banana after another being thrown at them. You know, "You fail here, you fail there, you're worthless, you can't do a simple thing right." That's probably how it was coming at them, how they felt. You know, they're just getting beat down, they're getting punched in the gut. And that's the, this might sound a little strange, but that's the beginning of the gospel, isn't it? To understand the good news, we first have to appreciate where we're at with the bad news. We must feel the weight. We must understand the cost. We have to be a little bit beat down first by the bad news. And that's just the truth of the condition that we find ourselves in. God tells us, you know, "I have some great news." But first we got to talk about the bad news. You know, we're all sinners in a helpless state. There's nothing that we can do to help ourselves. But God says, I have a plan. And Jesus is that plan, right? If you're unsure of God's love, if you question whether or not God loves you, you know, maybe you've come into this place and you're just trying to figure it out. Is God for me? Does he love me? Look to Jesus. You know, we're ramping up here to celebrate the birth of Jesus in a couple weeks. And we have this huge tree, as you guys saw outside, and we're working like crazy to put on this big event for Thursday night. I hope all you guys are coming. We did it on Sunday in Riverside. It was unreal. It was amazing. Thousands of people showed up, and it was just a very, very special night, and it's going to be happening out here on Thursday night. But the whole point of that is that God came to earth. You know, God who created everything, who created the breath in your lungs, came to earth and put on skin. How amazing is that? He lived as a man. He sacrificed himself for us. To understand the weight, to understand the cost, we still got to be beat down a little bit by the truth. Romans 3:23 says that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're all failures in need of a fresh start. Only by leaning into Jesus can we have it. We can have the greatest personal, this is how this all ties into this point here. We can have the greatest personal victory we could ever imagine through the recognition of our great failures. Power from above. 2 Corinthians 12 says that we're told that when we are at our weakest, God's power works best. Victory through failure. Second secret to our strength. Strength number two is don't be the victim. Don't be the victim. We all have met people, they're always the perpetual victim, right? Victim mentality, always feeling sorry for themselves, always comparing themselves to others, forever a critic. They don't trust people. They never take responsibility. They always seem kind of frozen in life, powerless. They have that victim card, right? You have that victim card? Boris? The victim card. Get out of responsibility free, right? Dr. Ben Carson, I thought that was pretty funny, but I guess you guys weren't feeling it. So anyways, Dr. Ben Carson, most of you guys know who Dr. Ben Carson is, right? He ran for president last election. Dr. Carson has this amazing story. It's amazing, of growing up in absolute poverty in Detroit. He spent a little time in Boston, then back to Detroit. His mom raising him and his brother. And anyways, he goes on out of this just absolute poverty to become one of the world's most famous neurosurgeons. At 33 years old, he was the country's youngest chief of pediatric neurosurgery. He's accredited with developing many first and new methods for brain surgery. And I've heard him speak many times on the topic of not having that victim mentality. And he's a great example of someone who didn't allow his environment, he didn't allow failure to define him. He didn't allow failure to turn him into a victim. So this is a quote from Ben Carson. It says, Dr. Carson, it says, success is determined not by whether or not you face obstacles, but your reaction to them. If you look at obstacles as a containing fence, they become your excuse for failure. If you look at them as a hurdle, each one strengthens you for the next. I think that's great. I think that's great to tie in for a text here tonight. So let's pick up in verse 10. We'll read through here a couple more verses. Starting in verse 10, it says, Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate. He tells the people, listen, you know, all right, you guys are crying. You guys feel the weight of your sin and everything. And now go and celebrate and feast of the rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. For this is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected or sad. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You should underline that. And the Levites, too, quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food, to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's word and understood it. So they had heard God's word and they understood it. Coming to a place where we see our sins, we fully see the weight of our mistakes. It can be crushing. It can bring the strongest person to their knees. It can make the hardest individuals weep. But God does want us to go there. That's why we have the law. God wants us to feel the weight of it, but he definitely doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want to leave us there in that place. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said this in Philippians 3:12. He said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, that I've already reached some level of perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul had a lot that he would like to forget and move on. Stephen, he had a lot that he would like to forget about. You know, we've all made mistakes here. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. We all have to let go of that and look forward to all that God's going to do through us. God has big plans for each and every one of us, big plans. He really does. And that's not just for pastors and leaders within the church. Look at Nehemiah. He wasn't a religious leader. He wasn't a priest. He was a layman, basically. He was just a member of the church. Ezra was the priest, the highly educated scribe, religious leader. Nehemiah was a man motivated by his relationship with God. And he devoted himself to God's work where he was, as a governor, right? A secular job. God wants to use all of us. He wants to use all of you right where you are. At your home, at your job, at the gym, you know, wherever. We can all look forward to a much fuller, much more meaningful life because of the relationship that we now have with Jesus, as all of you know. We've all been liberated for a purpose. We've all been set free for a calling, an upward calling. And like the Jews in our story tonight, we can step out into life and liberty. Whom Christ sets free is free indeed, right? Amen. So we should all be living daily in great joy. And sometimes that's harder than others because, like verse 12, we now understand God's word, that it has been and it continues to be known to us. So the only containing fence that we have is the one that we place around ourselves. Last point, and then we're going to wrap this baby up. So strength number three is grab some branches. Grab some branches. So we've received victory through failure. We talked about that. We don't want to be the victim. Now it's time to grab some branches. So Ezra, he's reading the law, and they find that in the seventh month, which, oh my goodness, they're in the seventh month, right? They're supposed to live in booths during the feast. And so verse 16 and 17 says that the people went out, they cut branches, they used them to build shelters on the roofs of their houses, in the courtyards of God's temple, or in the square just inside the water gate. And so everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival, and they were filled with great joy. The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, son of Nun. And so when we move from failure to victory, from victim to the joy of the Lord, we start to do some crazy stuff, don't we? I mean, look at them. Look at the Jews here in the story. You know, how many of you guys can relate to that? Anyone walk forward in a public place to accept Christ? I did. Anyone go from partying late night Saturday to, man, I got to get to bed early because I got to serve in the morning? I did. What about R-rated movies? Oh, if it's R-rated because of violence, maybe that's okay. You know, the Old Testament's pretty violent. But if there's any nudity in that thing, no. Don't want to watch that. Definitely don't want anyone to know that I watched that, right? If it was on accident, of course. The first time you sat down at dinner with a friend and they ordered a glass of wine or a beer and you're like, oh my gosh, my pastor warned me about this. He's going to walk in, he's going to see me. He's going to think that I'm trying to stumble somebody, right? Anyone spend a Saturday watching people down at Pirate's Cove get dunked in the water in the name of three people, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? You know, even weirder, anybody cry, shed a few tears out there? I mean, this stuff would have seemed crazy to you before, right? You start doing some crazy stuff. The joy of the Lord will bring about some pretty crazy changes in the life of someone who's a follower of Jesus. You can never be the same, right? Anybody relate to that? You can never be the same. It's great to come in here to hear a teaching and to think, man, that's a great point. I love how I can directly apply this chapter to my life. You know, victory through failure. Yeah, I get it. We all fall short, but we have victory in Jesus. You know, don't be a victim. Stop living a self-imposed fence. Jesus has set us free. Now go out to victory. But that's the point, is we need to now get on with it. Time is short, and we have work to do in Jesus' name. The people heard God's word. They saw their shortcomings. They chose to wipe their tears and get it going. They grabbed those branches and they started doing what God had called them to do. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22 says this. Listen to this, you guys. This is good. I like this a lot. It says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but, letting the word of God go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror and walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. Verse 25, this is a more of a modern translation, Message Bible. Verse 25 says, but whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, he sticks with it. It's no distracted scatterbrain, but the man or woman of action. That person finds delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by taking a good game is self-deceived. The kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless, love in their plight, and guard against corruption and the godless world. I just love the way that that's worded. We have a huge advantage over the Jews that were in the story that we just read. God has given us all that we need for success. We have Jesus. We have been forgiven. We've been set free, right? We have the Holy Spirit that's in us, guiding and directing and instructing and helping us to understand his word and convicting us. I can't talk. Somebody help me out here. Buy a vowel. Convicting us when we're off track. Are you guys awake? Because I'm about to wrap this up, and I feel like I'm like, you guys are dead. Are you guys good? Yeah. All right, we're feeling. I know it's Tuesday. I know it's the holidays. Everybody getting Christmas cookies too much? Everyone's out of it. All right, we'll wrap it up with one last verse here, all right? And then you guys head off to your groups. Yeah, we're good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him and who called us by his own glory and goodness. And the key, one last verse. Sorry, that was the second to last one. Amen. Yeah, I'm with you on that over there. And the key is in the revival verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will restore their land. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, we're just thankful, Lord, for this time. And God, we just ask that you would help us to take these truths and apply them into our lives, Lord. God, that we would be able to step out bold as men and women of God that you've called us to be. And Lord, we just thank you again for your love. And just go before these groups now and just fill these groups with your spirit and just help them to just get something again, something special from you in this time, a fellowship and group time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.